Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I should say host of the TOJ Pod and TOJ Talks at this point. Joined by founder of Turn on the Jets, Badlands, Joe Caproso. Joe, has been a little while on the pod. How are we doing?
It's always good to be back. I'm doing well. It's about to start everything. It's like the quiet period of the 5 days after the Super Bowl is over, and now it's Combine League year. Shit's here already. We're going to be working on the big board together this weekend, and it's crazy.
Yeah, it's an interesting week. There's not a lot that happens this week. This is probably the most dead week. I would say last week is a little bit, there's still the discourse on the Super Bowl and is Patrick Mahomes the GOAT and doing these stupid conversations. There's not much football on. I literally resorted to watching the first episode of the Patriots Dynasty docuseries on Apple yesterday. I'm just gonna say it, that Mo Lewis hit the shit out of Drew Bledsoe. Like, he almost literally killed him. We don't talk about
it.
It
was a thing in the moment. It was like, wow. Like, just the shoulder drop.
It's legitimately one of the hardest hits I've ever seen, of like, not like a no look, you know, receiver over the middle gets, you know, destroyed. It was like, he saw him. Drew Bledsoe's huge too. And Molo is just quite literally almost killed him.
Yeah. Shattered his insides, which was crazy to watch in the moment. And, that's a whole different podcast and conversation and road to walk down.
Yeah, no, we're not going to go down too far down the rabbit hole. I know you did a nice, you know, kind of riffing a little bit of, you know, 97 to 2010 and kind of what occurred there. That obviously was a pretty big moment amongst a bunch of good Jets years, some bad Jets years. I want to kind of talk a little bit about just a few random things that are kind of going on with the Jets at the moment, whether it be different coaching things happening. The Jets have lost now, you know, a few members of the front office, Chad Alexander, Rex Hogan, for different reasons. Rex Hogan, a quote-unquote mutual parting of ways, not so mutual, but regardless, Chad Alexander obviously goes and takes a promotion with the Chargers, you know, working with Jim Harbaugh and, you know, his former colleague with the Ravens. They've now lost running back coach, receiver coach, and now quarterback coach as well. A lot of guys around the margins, it feels like. It's not Joe Douglas, it's not Saleh, it's not Hackett, it's not Ulbrich, et cetera. Obviously, it's, you know, obviously not Joe Douglas. So what do you make of just a bunch of, generally speaking, a bunch of guys leaving for either different jobs or taking kind of lateral moves, and Jets haven't really hired anybody. They kind of just like lost guys, and that's not really, nothing else has really changed.
Yeah. I mean, look, the five guys that have departed, the running back coach, the receiver coach, Hogan, Alexander, and Calabrese, are like five guys I would have listed before the season ended as like, those five can go. So I'm not like too mad or upset that they're no longer with the organization. However, the Jets want to classify and frame it. They can't outright fire anybody for whatever reason, but it wasn't like those five had like sterling resumes where you're like, man, those are actually really heavy hits. Now, I would have been happier if that list included Carter and Downing. If they're not going to get rid of Hackett, which they're not, you know, that would have been a bit of a deeper cut on the offensive side of the ball. How these roles are filled is going to be, if they're filled at all, will be interesting to see. It's not a bad thing, objectively, that Douglas will have a new quote-unquote number two and number three around him. It's just, who are these people? Are they going to be? Is it someone internal? Are they going to bring in a fresh voice? Maybe someone with more of an analytics background? And then on the, you know, the offensive staff, they just had too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, I don't even, like, I'm sure they will bring in some version of a quarterback coach. Who that person is, I'm sure Rodgers will have plenty of saying, but you know, your quarterback coach, when you have Rodgers, you have his buddy Hackett, like how much that role actually does beyond the fact that you also have Downing in the room, I don't really know. Like the Jets process last year of calling plays of 17 people weighing in and barely getting it in with 1 second on the play clock. Maybe that gets a little smoother now with Calabrese out of the picture and Rodgers back, of course. So they're losing people who didn't seem to be particularly great at their job. How these roles are backfilled and if they're backfilled in any meaningful way, still very TBD. My main hope is with the front office that they bring in someone with some type of fresh perspective and they don't just go some internal promotion or someone who worked with Douglas somewhere else. Like, try to find, you know, some fresh voices and fresh ideas. I've kind of given up hope on the offensive staff. Like, I'm sure Sean Jefferson was an upgrade at receiver coach, but how much of a difference that makes, I don't really know. At the end of the day, it's Rodgers' show, and hopefully Hackett could stay out of the way, and that's the best you can hope for. And, you know, the biggest changes on offense are going to come from the players who are added through the draft and free agency, because that unit really needs to be completely remade around Aaron Rodgers, around Garrett Wilson, around Breece Hall, and around a few other pieces like AVT and Conklin.
Yeah, no, look, I'm on the same page as you in a lot of ways. I think, you know, it would have been nice. Maybe you see Chad Alexander get promoted into what Rex Hogan's role was in terms of, you know, a step up for him. He's been a guy that's kind of, you know, was very well liked in the building. That said, again, you know, how much number two and number three guys, you know, in each organization have an impact is very, you know, varies from organization to organization. Sometimes it's a lot by name and they give input in the GM. And at the end of the day, the GM's going to do what the GM's going to do, right? And the Jets obviously have changed their structure since, you know, the Gase and, you know, early on Gase and Douglas, like Salah reports to Douglas, obviously Douglas reports to Woody. In terms of the coaching staff, like, you make some good points there. And I think, like, it's no secret. It's been said on, you know, every single episode of TOJ Talks with somebody that's come on. It's been talked about on Badlands. Like, they're pretty actively trying to replace Hackett's actual job and kind of heap him on the staff as Rodgers' yes man. But, you know, they need somebody to say yes to the job. And I thought Joe Philbin actually mentioned this in the Discord for people that are in the Badlands Discord probably like 2 weeks ago. I said, they, you know, coming back from Mobile, I was like, one thing I kept hearing was they're trying to replace Hackett a little bit in a sense of just like the senior offensive assistant. I obviously threw out Gruden's name, but guy who worked with Gruden, obviously, but a much more of a Rodgers guy who Rodgers played through an injury the end of the either 16 or 17 season, or actually maybe it was the 18 season when Rodgers, Packers were like 6-9 last game of the year. Philbin was the intern for the Packers at the head coach. I know I remember some from the Hard Knocks days, but obviously a guy that has done well, has been with Ohio State, the Cowboys, et cetera. I was like, this is the perfect underwhelming but probably somewhat effective hire that isn't going to cost Woody a lot of money. It's one of Rodgers' guys, knows Hackett. Like, this makes a ton of sense. And, you know, he gets hired today. It just, to me, sometimes I feel like this is maybe an overreaction. This is not about really Joe Philbin, but just in general, a lot of these moves with the Jets, it feels like they don't fire these guys, so they wait for them to get either to leave on their own or to leave and give them a soft landing spot. And that's a nice thing to do. I think, you know, as two people who have hired people before and all that stuff, it's nice to be able to give someone a landing spot when it doesn't work out. But it also means you're sitting on your hands until these guys leave or get a different job. And then you're picking at the second and third tier of the litter in terms of, you know, what you can do. And it feels like, yes, they got Sean Jefferson back. That's nice. Ideally, most of the receiver core next year, the only young guys left are going to be Brownlee and Gibson. They're probably going to have multiple veterans. So unless they maybe draft someone at day two or something like that, like, I don't know if the receiver coach is really making much of a difference. Running back coach makes a little bit of a difference, I guess, in some senses. I guess I'm saying all this to say, like, it just feels like it's always the same, like, reactionary instead of proactive moves with this team and especially this regime. It's like, you're always waiting on the back foot and like, oh, well, this guy fell to us. Or like this time it kind of happened. I'm transitioning this to free agency, which we're going to, you know, obviously continue to preview and then, you know, we'll get into the draft stuff, obviously, as it gets closer. I guess, what's your biggest fear of this free agency? And then we'll land on a positive, but what's your biggest fear, I guess, going into this free agency period, which will start up in about 20, 25 days from now? I just feel like when plan A works for the Jets, like, you know, DJ Reed's out there, you know, with the Jacoby Brissett stuff. We know that they're interested in him from reports. We saw some Sam Howell stuff pop up. Gardner Minshew went. All these different guys, right? Like, I don't know. What's your, like, fear, I guess? Day one, are we getting, like, a Jared Davis $1 for $7.5 million signing? Are we getting MVS? Because, like, I can tell you MVS is not a 0% chance it's happening.
Yeah.
Are we getting that? Like, what's going to happen here? I guess not predictably, but what's like your fear of what happens, especially early on in free agency?
My concern is kind of what we've seen in the past, sort of a like quiet, surprising day one or day two, where like their first signing is like a random off-ball linebacker or like special teamer or like a backup defensive lineman. And their mapped out plan A doesn't come to fruition. And they're left going into the draft, potentially trying to sell Carter Warren as their day one starting left tackle, Alan Lazard as their day one starting 11 personnel receiver to go with sort of a underwhelming other addition to go with Garrett Wilson. And backup quarterback, they miss out on what I would consider sort of the top trio of options for them, which would be Brissett, Minshew, or Tannehill. They don't get any of them, so now it's like, is it Heineke? Are they giving up draft capital for Howell, which I'm not particularly excited about? Maybe it's like a Tyrod Taylor. Like, okay, maybe that's fine for a year, but they're heading to a spot where they're trying to sell us on stuff that we know is probably shaky on the surface. Like, we like Carter Warren's potential. Are we sure he's the day one starting left tackle? Like, we like maybe adding Bakhtiari on like a minimum deal, but are they selling him as like he's starting 17 games next year? We know they need help and speed at receiver. Are they signing like MVS and Curtis Samuel and being like, we're fine with those two and Lazard, even though those two guys are like number threes or number fours? Like, is it that type of offseason? That would be my concern. Now, my hope is that the first thing we see when the league year opens is that the Jets have made Jacoby Brissett the highest paid backup in football for the next 2 years. They have a security blanket for Aaron Rodgers. They surprise us on the offensive line and make a meaningful veteran addition, whether that's a tackle or a guard that gives them some AVT flexibility. So they add, I'm not getting my hopes up for Onwenu. I don't feel like that's going to happen. I could be wrong, but maybe they get like Cushenberry or Hunt or Runyon, where they have another like credible option in the interior. Maybe they surprise us with a Tyron Smith, but I feel like he's staying with Dallas. Maybe there's a name we're not thinking of that they go get, but they get a meaningful addition early in free agency, and then maybe they're kind of looking around the trade market. And at receiver, you know, I don't think Devontae is going to happen. I don't think Higgins is going to happen. I think with Evans, I worry that it's a classic leverage situation where the Jets are just going to run up the price and he's ultimately going to go back to Tampa. It's hard to see that guy leaving Tampa at this stage of his career. So back to the names that, you know, we like a lot. Can they get a Sutton? Can they get a Ridley? Someone who is a solid number two for Garrett Wilson, not a number three, number four guy, which is like what an MVS or a Curtis Samuel or whoever, some of these other like backup tier guys. They should get a guy like that, but it needs to go hand in hand with a higher end player. And I hope that quarterback, lineman, receiver are addressed very proactively within that first week. Of course, I hope they keep Huff, but I'm not optimistic about that happening. You know, hopefully to soften that blow a little bit, they get Quentin Jefferson back so they don't mess with that defensive line rotation too much. And then maybe they have to get a different edge rusher on a one-year flyer to help fill that gap. We'll see. But it's hard to say. Standard operating procedure for this front office says there'll be a little bit of a letdown in us expecting them to be really aggressive and land a bunch of big names. But this is a unique situation for them. They have to win next year. I don't think there's a single person in or around the league who doesn't believe that if this team does not make the playoffs next year, that all these guys won't be cleared out. That likely leads to Joe Douglas maybe not sitting on his number like he always would and adjusting his philosophy to get to where he needs to get to make the playoffs next year.
If I see one leak.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans.
After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
League year opens whatever the 10th, 11th. If I see a single effing leak and like the 14th, the Jets tried to call on Michael Pittman and like didn't even make an offer, just called and like took no for an answer, to take Jamal Adams' words with Joe Douglas, like I'm quite literally going to have a mental breakdown. Like that, that stuff, yeah. That stuff's not flying. Like the stuff after the trade deadline was quite frankly embarrassing. I think we all ripped them at the time. This team is spiraling and we come out after. Like that's why, not to be negative, but like, that's why the solid comments about, oh, we were so lucky to win 7 or 8 games. And then you have the nerve to leak that we tried to call on Devontae and Mike Evans, but they just didn't happen to pick up. It's so much more embarrassing. Like at the time, it's fine. But when you find out they weren't even trying to really win games, that's what's the frustrating part. I agree with you. I think backup quarterback, yes. I know it's one of those things where in a vacuum, you'd love to pay a backup quarterback or draft the guy in the fourth round and have him sit there, right? Like that'd be great if the Jets could figure out, I don't know, they draft Carter Bradley, Gus Bradley's son, who was, you know, kind of fun at the Senior Bowl in the 7th round. And he's your backup quarterback, and you have the Jake Browning situation where everything around him is good enough that, you know, hey, we could still compete, at least make a, you know, try to make the playoffs if he just isn't terrible. We're just not in that situation. Yes, I know Russell Wilson on $1 million a year. First of all, it's not going to happen, but like the idea, at least I didn't hate the idea of like, oh, this guy's, you know, trying to maybe regenerate his career and he sits here with Rodgers and people forget that he's bad. That's all great, well and good. But, you know, you mentioned some names there, the Cushenberries of the world. Onwenu's just an interesting one to me because on paper, it makes so much sense. Go overpay, whatever you got to do. It's not that like New England wants to lose him. They're kind of a dumpster fire right now as it is. And they were playing a guy that wants to play guard, a tackle, et cetera. He's 26, not a great player, but good, definitely better than Lincoln. And you know, frankly, he's probably similar to AVT at this point in his career. And it's like, okay, we'll play one of the two at tackle, play one of the two at guard, play 10 minutes center, Lincoln at left guard. And all you need is the left tackle. I agree with you. I don't think Tyron's happening. I think there was an report last night. He's not retiring and he plans on staying in Dallas. Again, that's obviously negotiation tactics. They got to re-sign Dak first, whose cap hit is $60 million. You mentioned Bakhtiari there. He's an interesting one to me because, look, it's Bakhtiari Rodgers' literal best friend and is an incredible player when he's out there. No question about it. He's played 14 games over 3 years, had 5 knee surgeries, is the most outspoken guy against turf in the league. And, like, I just don't – I don't see – like, if you go in the next year counting on Carter Warner and Bakhtiari to give you 17 quality starts as one of – as both – as, like, your left tackle combo, at that point, like, I just think you're kind of – you're really hoping against hope. And I know see people were kind of giving me a hard time. They're like, oh, look at Mekhi. Everyone said he couldn't stay healthy. I'm like, well, he didn't stay healthy. He got hurt, and then his play was horrendous. Like, that's yeah. that's part of the problem.
It didn't work out for the record.
Yeah. like, yeah, I was going to say, like, oh, cool, yeah. like – Yeah, Sam Darnold hasn't sucked since he like left the Jets. Guess what? He also, as a biggest Sam Darnold fan, he's still a backup. So,
yeah,
like, not really taking a victory lap there.
Exactly.
I think one of the biggest things is the league year opens. I think the quicker you trade Zach Wilson, the better that you just, it's just
100%. Yeah, get that shit done. Like, ASAP. Be
done. Like, it's for his sake, for the Jets' sake, for everybody's sake, like, that needs to be done. The last kind of two things, you know, you mentioned Huff there. I think the Jets are in a spot. Maybe they get it done. I just think if he hits the market, it will bother me, to be honest, if they go out and they sign like Josh Uche from the Patriots, who's a not as good version of Bryce Huff and can't play against the run at all. And then they're like, well, see, we got Josh Uche and Will McDonald. It's like, that's great. But you could also have just had Will McDonald and Bryce Huff. Yeah. And like, again, it's not about it's about the process the Jets went through with this. It's about not being reactionary. It's about being proactive. Let's trade the guy if he has value. And if he doesn't have value and he's a great for us, let's re-sign him. I do not want to get a 1 year, $12 million Ashton Davis, you know, with like, whatever, like something like that, where they overpay some guy in house for no reason, but won't pay off. That'll bother me. I want to ask you two quick things here before we finish. I know we talked about, you know, the jerseys and the uniforms and stuff like that. You know, you guys have talked about it and everything like that. Do you think, this is a absurd question. Like, does that stuff matter to you in terms of like superstitions or like this will change the Jets' luck? I know it sounds crazy to say that, but like, they quite literally changed their luck in 98 when they went back to the old ones, and they were really good. And then the other, these went stale. They went to bad ones, and they've been horrendous since. So is it crazy to say, like, the Vibes should change like two or three wins just based on uniforms?
I mean, maybe it's less superstition, but like, it's better to look better. And everyone feels better when they look better. And there's like nobody who likes the Gotham green jerseys. The players don't like them. The fans don't like them. The media doesn't like them. Nobody.
They literally wouldn't wear them. They wore white on black, which looks ridiculous.
New fans, old fans, like nobody likes them. So getting the jerseys that look better and people are excited about, yes, it's a net positive thing. When you're watching your team in person or you're watching them in primetime, like you want to be like, oh, they look like pretty cool and sleek out there. Not these like dumpy CFL jerseys. And so I'm glad they're changing them. Of course, Woody tweeted it the second the Super Bowl ended, and we could see this coming a mile away. He was going to be like, don't look at this, look at the new jerseys. So I'm happy they're doing it. And the Vibes are very, they're down very bad right now in Jets fandom. I think they're slowly starting to uptick a little bit. They will uptick. The jerseys help a little bit. Zach Wilson getting traded will help a little bit. Landing one name that everyone's unanimously excited about in free agency will help a little bit. And then the draft, you know, no matter who they take at 10, and it's going to be hard for them to go wrong at 10, everyone will be happy and talk themselves into. I mean, I watched everyone talk themselves, and I think he will be a good player, but let's be real. We do this. There was not a single person who thought the Jets were drafting Will McDonald, and within a day, everyone had talked themselves into it. So, like, no matter who they take, the Vibes will be good around the pick. So hopefully the jerseys help kick off a general vibe turnaround for the Jet fan base and the Jet ecosystem right now.
Yeah, look, I just think like I said, it got so bad. They were literally wearing white on black because of quote unquote superstitions. And like the team just literally would not, like, they hated those green. The Jets not wearing green at home is honestly so annoying. And the fact that they can actually maybe be able to wear green at home again would be pretty cool. I know, as stupid as that may sound. Last kind of question here in terms of, and then we kind of just promo a lot of what we got going on with you know, TOJ Badlands. Who's wider, like, just gut feeling. This is not any, like, just gut feeling, February 20th, 4:02 p.m. Who's the Jets' biggest addition of the offseason? I'll put it that way. It doesn't have to be the most important, biggest either name or, like, Who's the one guy that everyone's like gets the most jersey sales or something, I guess. Because they draft tackle at 10. Because nobody's like, they draft Fuaga, no offense, nobody's getting a Fuaga jersey.
That's fair. No one gets the big ugly jerseys, unfortunately. So it will be a receiver, definitely, because no one's getting the backup quarterback jersey either. They're not going to add anyone meaningful enough on defense or special teams to get a jersey purchase. So I don't think Bowers is happening, so it's not going to be a tight end. Whoever the backup running back is will probably, you know, be an okay veteran. You know, Devin, like, Singletary or something, or Kareem Hunt for a 1 year deal.
I'd be happy about that. That's fine. Like, a Hall, Singletary, Izzy, backfield's, like, pretty good.
We're not getting jerseys there. I will say they will get – I'll say they get Ridley as their other receiver. I know they've had interest in him before.
Wearing zero in the new jersey, it'll be a hot copy.
They've had interest in him before. It feels kind of Jetsy. Like, Ridley and Mike Williams feel very Jetsy to me. Maybe both of them, maybe just one of them. They just kind of feel like Jet like additions. So all I say, they end up getting like Ridley and Curtis Samuel, and everyone gets the Ridley jersey. And there's a lot of talk about that trio with Lazard and having Gibson and Brownlee. That's what I will go with as of today. I do think they will ultimately get presented as their backup quarterback, though. I'm not buying into the Howell stuff. I just don't, like, feels like a rich man Zach Wilson situation to me. For the next 2 years, you need a guy who you know could 100% come in and go like 2-1 over three games and be competent. You don't want some like undersized dude running around taking 7 million sacks and like still being a development quarterback. Like, worry about quarterback for the future 2 years from now when Rodgers retires. Like, you don't got to worry about it now for your backup quarterback.
Yeah, I don't hate that prediction at all. Mike Williams and Ridley, two guys who either are hurt or have a lot of drops, so they kind of fit right in, you know, with the Jets, although I'd like, obviously, both players are special when they're on their game. TOJ Pod, I'll have one on Thursday, and then TOJ Talk Saturday. We got a lot on the Badlands feed, other guys, yesterday. You and Connor will be back on your, you know, normal pod, I believe, tomorrow. It'll be out, if I'm not mistaken. Connor's big board came out, first 65 names in the draft, up on Badlands draft season, TOJ Talk, Sunday Coffee. I'm missing something probably. I'll be at the combine next week. as will Dan, I believe. Obviously, Connor will be there as well. So we got a lot cooking. I think a hat drop in like 10 days or something. There's a lot going on.
Just stay up with the feed. There's something on the feed every day, whether it's a video, an article, a hat drop. But yes, you hit all the boxes and check out the big board for War Room. Just get in War Room. You'll be in Discord. You get the big board. You get the free agency big board with Will and I are working on. Just patreon.com/BadlandsToJ. So we're going to be busy the next few weeks.
We'll talk to everybody on Thursday.